Unsolved Mysteries Rewind is a commercial-free podcast that focuses on cases featured on the television show Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. Each episode features a single case and, if possible, updates and an expansion on the original story. Listener discretion is advised for listeners who are sensitive to true crime details.
Tonight on Unsolved Mysteries Rewind, two friends get together to discuss episodes of their favorite television show, Unsolved Mysteries. Will they find answers? Will anyone care? You may be able to solve a mystery.
Hello, this is Mark, and you're listening to Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. Today, I have Catherine. How are you, Catherine?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. I am excited to discuss this case and our theories and the complicated last names that exist here. The case that we're talking about is something that occurred in the dead of winter in South Dakota, Lake Andes, I guess, Lake Andes. And the people who we're going to be discussing mostly are Arnold Archambeau and Ruby Bruyere. Two tough names. And for me, they're tough names. Maybe not for other people. This also aired in April of 1995 on Unsolved Mysteries. And do you want to give, like, I'm leaving off Tracy Dion. She's another person who is... Certainly affected.
She's what we call a key player. She's not a victim, but she's a key player.
Who knows? I mean, she could be the person responsible for the issue.
We'll get there in our rabbit hole section.
Yes. Arnold's 20. Ruby is 19. They're boyfriend and girlfriend. They met in high school. We assume they met in high school. And they have a child together, a baby named Erica. Arnold, we kind of know... I heard this from another podcast. I try to listen to what other people are talking about. And I need to find a source for this. But what was said is that Arnold was known in the community to be a bit of a heavy partier. Whatever that means.
I did hear that too.
I need to confirm that. So, I mean, it's also easy to just say that. I mean, the kid's 20 years old. Of course he's a heavy partier. And... the Dakotas. What else is there to do?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Now, at the time, I think there were about 1,500 people. Currently, it's less. It's just under 900 population.
Less than 900.
Now, property is a weird thing in South Dakota, and you could pick up a really nice house. I think on 5 acres for about $320,000. Surprisingly large for the amount of money that is. You can't even get a one bedroom house in my area for $320,000 because I know somebody selling a one bedroom little tiny house for I think $450,000. So just gives you an idea of how crazy it is. If you want property, move to South Dakota.
December 12th, 1992, Ruby Arnold and Ruby's cousin, Tracy Dion, who was 17 at the time, went out for a night of partying. And they left Erica with Ruby's father to babysit.
Mm-hmm.
And then at about 6 a.m., they showed up to Ruby's father's house to pick up Erica. And Tracy's father knew that they were pretty drunk and said, "I'll keep the baby, you come back." And I think Tracy lived there too. They didn't really specify, but in the Unsolved Mysteries reenactment, Ruby's father said, "Do you want to stay here or do you want to go back out with them?" And Tracy said, "I'll go back out with them."
One thing to note, I just want to mention that baby Erica... this all happened on the same day as Erica turned two. We don't hear this too often. So they probably had some type of birthday party and decided to leave the baby with the grandfather and go out and party more. I just think it's kind of interesting for a parent to, on the day of their child's birth, to go out and party all night. It's a strange thing. I'm not judging, but I think it's certainly strange.
Yeah, and it's also, people have noted too, the father said, oh, you're pretty drunk. Why don't you leave and come back?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're drunk, why are you going to send them out in a vehicle? Why don't you? Somebody said on Reddit or sitcoms online, one of those two, why didn't he just have them come in and make them some coffee and sober up?
I'll tell you why. I guarantee you that this was a far more hostile situation. Because you would have said that. You say, come on in, you sober up, have some coffee, take a nap on the sofa. But he didn't. He said, I'm guessing. He's like, get out of here. And probably in a huff is when this happened. And this is all speculation, of course. But he left, and Arnold would get into a car accident within what seems to be just minutes later. He loses control of the car, and the car flips. In the reenactment, it seems like they landed on a frozen lake, but that's not the case.
They did make it seem like they landed on a lake, but it was really just a ditch on the side of the road. They didn't really specify this in the reenactment, but it did seem like Tracy. So Arnold was driving. Tracy was sitting in the middle of the front seat.
See, I didn't get that. I why would they do that? Does that make any sense?
It doesn't. Like, why?
You go in the back. That's the way I feel.
Right.
Now, is there evidence to show that? Did she say she was sitting in the front middle? Like, she's a little kid in the
70s? She was in the reenactment. And who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. When I was a kid, my dad had a Lumina.
Mm-hmm.
And when we would go out, I'm the youngest of four. When we would go out to dinner and stuff, there's six people that has to get
squeeze
in the car.
In. Yeah.
So three in the back seat, and then the middle of the front had a seatbelt. And since I was the littlest and, you know, fit the best, I would have to sit in the middle between my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know,
that was common. It was certainly common. But if there's a back seat open, you would think that would be where it would be. I love to think that there was another person involved, but I have no evidence of that.
You know, maybe they were out partying with other people and the other people were in the back seat and they had dropped them off and Tracy just stayed in the front because that's where she was sitting.
Maybe she didn't want to get out of the car. It's 26 degrees. We're in the dead of winter in South Dakota, you know? And it is, you know, that's blistery. You know, that is -3 Celsius for those who are on the world of the metric system.
So they didn't specify this in Unsolved Mysteries, but it did seem like Tracy blacked out after the accident. And when she came to, Arnold wasn't in the vehicle. And Ruby was panicking. She was, you know, saying, help me, help me, and banging on the door.
Like what we both would be doing, I think. You know, I mean, you panic. Right. You're just in a freaking car accident. I mean, if it's anything like what the reenactment looked like, I mean, it horrifying, scary.
And so Ruby eventually gets out of the vehicle, and it's unclear whether or not Ruby was able to free herself or somebody was outside and helped free her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ruby just shuts the door behind her. And Tracy goes, what the heck? She's my cousin, you know. Why wouldn't she help me out of the car, you know?
You know. She says you know a lot. And we're not goofing on her as much as I'm goofing on the overuse of you know in South Dakota. I love it. I love the accent, to be honest with you.
And Tracy is just waiting and waiting and waiting, and a passerby finally sees it and helps her out. And when Tracy gets out, Arnold and Ruby are nowhere to be found.
Yeah, this is a weird thing, because when they're speaking to Tracy on Unsolved Mysteries, she's almost alluding to still feeling offended a little that she would be left behind.
Right.
Which is, well, weird to me. It's very weird.
Right. She was speaking of her thoughts while she was in the vehicle. Mm-hmm. But she kind of repeated them, like kept repeating, she wasn't helping me. I really thought she'd help me out. Why did she shut the door like that?
And yeah.
She's probably still hurt.
In shock. Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we don't know what happened to Arnold and Ruby exactly after they left or got out of the vehicle.
And of course, we're going to speculate in a little bit.
Right. So we don't know what would have happened to Tracy either.
Mm-hmm.
If Ruby had helped Tracy out of the vehicle, would Tracy have met the same fate as Arnold and Ruby?
It's totally possible. Of course, maybe she could have also helped with whatever situation happened. Now, after she was pulled and we have these two missing people, Tracy, basically, I don't know if it was at this point that she basically says we're all out drinking, we had an accident, and the entire area starts doing a community-led search. Authorities and the community come together to search everywhere. There's a ditch. There's wooded areas. I couldn't find where this happened. You know, like, there's no pinpoint that I could locate. And I also, I don't know if you kind of located it. I couldn't find an address for where the grandfather lived.
I couldn't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of information that's just, it's non-existent. Also to note, this is more of a personal thing, is Arnold is the same age as me, or was the same age as me. They both graduated high school in 91. I graduated in 91. So I'm kind of like thinking in my mindset in 1995, yeah, you're a stupid kid. You're doing stupid things. I didn't have a kid, thankfully. But it was just...
You also have to think, too, that they're drinking underage. Not only are they driving under the influence, they're also drinking underage. So they
not.
Get an MIP, too.
I've heard this before. But Arnold and Ruby are, at this age, over the age of 21.
They were 19 and 20.
This happened in, I'm sorry, I just confused when this happened. Yeah, you're right. That's if, I mean, is the drinking age 21 in South Dakota?
I thought it was a federal law.
Oh, I don't know. I know it changed when I was in middle school.
Okay.
Not that I was drinking. It's just I remember it being, you know, like a big thing in the news where it's, so you got to wait another 3 years.
I've also heard too, and I don't know what state, if it's different in other states. But I know in Michigan, if you get a DUI and you're underage,
mm-hmm.
the DUI kind of trumps the MIP. So you'll only get the DUI, or you could fight your way into only getting the DUI, which I don't know why you would fight for a DUI, but a DUI and an MIP.
What's MIP?
Minor in possession.
Oh, gotcha. And then there's the difference between a DUI and a DWI. I don't know if there really is a difference aside from the terminology.
Right.
But that was one of the theories. They thought, well, you know what? There's some serious stuff associated to this if they get caught in an accident drunk. Right. So they're like, well, maybe they fled. Currently, I don't know what it was. I cannot find what the rules were back in the 90s. But currently, the maximum penalty for a DWI in South Dakota is 1 year in the county jail and a $2,000 fine. Now, they're both over 18, I think, right? So they would have gotten, you know, treated as adults, of course. You also, you know, lose your driver's license for a period of a year. And you can even just go to the penitentiary. I mean, I think it's a good thing, but it's also possible they thought holy crap, I don't want to go to jail.
Right.
My kid just turned 2. Let me get out of here.
Right. So when Tracy is freed, Arnold and Ruby are nowhere to be found. And they look all over for them. And they never turn up.
Yeah. One thing
Everyone agrees that it wasn't like them not to come back for their daughter and just leave Tracy in the car to potentially die.
Although it is like them to go out partying all night on the night of their daughter's birthday, but that's beside the point.
Right.
One of the things that we don't really get an inkling of is how drunk were they? Are we talking like a liter of vodka? Or are we talking like a six pack of beer? Because it does make a difference, of course.
Right.
Like, are we talking like you are ripped? Because if you're ripped, right, you can go out into the cold and you're not even going to feel the cold and you might pass out and freeze to death.
Right. And if you're absolutely hammered, you might not even be able to know how to start your car.
Oh, but totally,
if you're pretty drunk, you can get in your car and start driving, but you definitely should not be driving.
Right, right. It doesn't mean you're going to be able to stop safely just because you can get going.
Right.
And it's just we're not sure. That's the whole thing. We're not sure. And there's a number of things because, do you want to talk about what happens 5 months later, March of 1993, to New Year?
Yeah. So several months later, in March of 1993, a passerby located and reported he saw a body. The body wasn't identifiable, but when they found a tattoo, they determined it was Ruby. Her glasses and shoes were gone, but her clothes were still intact.
Now, intact is a weird word.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't the clothes be intact? I mean, I guess they're saying it because there was no, like, sexual type of situation. She wasn't found nude.
Well, I think what they meant is they were able to identify that those were the clothes Ruby was wearing the night they were missing. The night she went missing, excuse me. And it was only 75 feet away from the initial crash scene. Due to the snow melt, the ditch was filling up with more and more water. And in order to properly investigate, they decided to pump out the water.
Mm-hmm.
Another body was discovered, and it was, drumroll please, Arnold, about 15 feet away. But they were in very different stages of decomposition.
Yeah.
Now, another podcast we listened to said they were able to find Arnold's autopsy photo, and it just looked like he was sleeping. It was on the Mysterious Bruise podcast mentioned that they saw Arnold's autopsy photo.
And we'll put a link to that in the show notes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, I forget the name of the podcast that I listened to, but I'll dig that up as well. No pun intended. And so it's interesting. I'm sorry.
Like, I just think that was wild. I don't care to see the autopsy photo, but we'll put a link to it in the show notes.
I thought that the description of the bodies when they were found was interesting. That they couldn't identify Ruby, but when they found Arnold, his body, they were able to identify him by sight. So this actually adds to my theory as to what happened, which we'll get to, of course, in a little bit. But it's just the autopsies. All right, so the information that came out in the autopsies, the information is lacking to me. Is there water? Did they have any water in their lungs? Right. They did some type of test having to do with blood. Was there a way to tell if there was any alcohol content, or was this just too late? You know, I'm just not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any drugs? You know, like, these are things. Was there any Was there anything on the bodies to show that, you know, they hit their heads maybe? Because I'm thinking that during the accident, it's possible the maybe their heads clocked together for all we know.
And, that's very possible.
And I think Arnold got thrown out of the car. And then she's like, in a daze, she gets out to help Arnold. And next thing you know, they're confused, they're lost, and, you know, maybe, well, all right, we'll finish telling the story, but I think I have a simple explanation as to what happened. When they found, I'm sorry, go on.
So in an area around the ditch, Ruby's hair was found.
Yeah, like a clump.
Authorities stated there's no way this tuft of hair was just caught on some weeds. Could have been there since December. There was also a set of keys in Arnold's pockets. There were two, like, house keys, it appeared to be, and then a car key.
Right. And they never found what it was, yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't find where the keys went to.
Which is weird to me. Because, all right, so in my house, I have keys. I have no idea what they're for. I don't know why it's important to know what those go for and why it became this obsession for the deputy.
Right. And, you know, I have on my keys, I have my house key. I have my parents' house key. And then years ago, I worked at a pizzeria and I would house it for my boss from time to time.
Mm-hmm. So you got those sitting on there.
Right. And, you know, after I quit, I still house sat for him from time to time. And I just never gave him his house key back. But I also couldn't tell you which one it is.
Also, people change locks.
Right. And my parents, they have like a garage door code.
Mm-hmm.
And generally they just, like, we just go in through the garage. We punch in the door code and go in through the garage. So I also don't even use my parents' house key that often.
So if the key, like, the keys would have meant something if they went somewhere and I'm like, oh, okay, it's for this car, look in the trunk, you find something, woo, but you didn't. It's anything. You know, I restore cars. I have several car keys that are, like, just old keys. Does that mean then it means something? I think that the keys are just whatever. It's not important to me.
And, you know, hypothetically speaking, if this happened to me, and they pulled my car keys out of my pocket, they would find two or three keys where they don't know where they go to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know where they go to.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really mean anything. And had they found out where my keys go to, like every single key on my keychain, they found out where they go to, it doesn't really mean anything. I couldn't agree more.
An
old pizzeria, an old house sitting gig, and my parents.
But the bottom line is they didn't find what the keys were for. Later on, I don't know when this was, that a witness came forward and stated that she saw Arnold at a New Year's Eve party. Now, I don't know when this happened, like in relation to the missing bodies. Do you recall, I couldn't find a timeline for this.
They just said a witness came forward.
So what I find interesting about this is you have two missing people.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to say, well, I saw them. You're going to go out of your way and use taxpayer dollars to schedule a polygraph test for this person? And have a whole investigation. She names three people that he was possibly with. Bring them in. Test them, polygraph. None of this is admissible in court one way or the other. It seems like a very, very strange, obsessive almost, thing from the deputy to do all of this.
Do you know if this witness came forward before or after the bodies were found?
That's what I mean. I can't find a timeline on that.
Okay.
I think it was before.
I'm wondering, too.
Because it's New Year's Eve party, and they weren't found until March. But they could have said in April. I don't know.
So they polygraphed everybody. They polygraphed the witness. They polygraphed the people that were supposedly in the vehicle with Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
nobody could determine whether or not Ruby was with them at the time.
Well, the original witness passed the polygraph. Big deal. The three that said that they were with Arnold were questioned and they failed it, meaning they were lying about seeing Arnold.
Well,
which I think is just nonsense because I don't put any faith in a polygraph test.
A lot of points made online were that the witness believed she saw Arnold, so she passed right. the polygraph test.
It's the it Seinfeld
doesn't necessarily
joke.
Mean that she actually saw it.
It's the
him.
Seinfeld joke where it's not a lie if you believe it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what everybody said online.
Mm-hmm.
And a theory I have too is, did she for sure see him on New Year's Eve, or does she just remember seeing him several months ago?
And was she drinking that night? Was she doing an all-night party thing?
You know, what if she really did see Arnold, but it was earlier in December that she saw him, not later in December?
Well, I mean, we just hit, like, I mean, it's over. It's nobody saw Arnold. He was missing, in my opinion. We also learned that years later, it was reported that two men were seen by, I don't know what I typed there, before the bodies were found. Wait, what am I talking? I almost want to ignore this. It was reported that two men were seen near where it was reported that the bodies were found in a dark blazer-type vehicle. They were never found or identified. So it's like, again, like these are like little nothings, like big deal. Two men were standing by where they found the body by a ditch. Like, is that really that important? The FBI officially closed the case in 1999, saying that they found no solid evidence, no foul play, and that Ruby and Arnold died of exposure.
So before we wrap up the summation of the case, I do want to mention Deputy Bill Youngstrom.
Mm-hmm.
He was interviewed in the Unsolved Mysteries segment, and he just, this case meant so much to him. He wanted so bad to solve this case and to solve what really happened to mm-hmm. Arnold and Ruby. And he said he walked up and down the road, looked everywhere for signs of them.
Along with community members and all types of people did the same exact thing.
He never found any sign of them in the 4 or 5 months before their bodies were found. He said he has signed affidavits of community members who looked for them too, which I think is a little weird, because why do you need signed affidavits? Like, yeah, I looked and I didn't find anything.
That's a great point. Like, what are you hoping to do with this signed affidavit? Big deal.
And I know I've read news articles of somebody going missing and there's volunteer search parties. I get that, but do they have to sign an affidavit? Like, everybody who went and searched, mm-hmm. do they have to sign an affidavit saying they didn't find anything? I feel like that's overkill.
Yeah, I think it's overkill as well. I also don't think that this is that mysterious of a case. I think that what I think is this. This is what I think happened. Just like I was saying before, they got into a car accident. They banged their heads either on each other or on something. Possibly Arnold was thrown from the car because the car flipped. Arnold was out of the car when we know that Ruby was in the car when the car stopped, and she crawled out. She was screaming. She was in shock, and she probably hit her head as well. She went to go. I mean, your first reaction is not to get out to help people. Your first reaction is just to get out first. She gets out. She's confused, maybe. And maybe she sees Arnold out there and he's, I don't know, trauma, something. I feel as though Arnold, if the reenactment is anything like what we are led to believe, that there was icy, there was water and stuff that was frozen over, I believe, and Guy is kind of a big guy. I believe he cracked through the ice and fell underneath and floated to it, and you would just never see him until the thaw came. He could have easily went to go walk towards, away from the water, slipped in, went under the ice, and got trapped. That makes sense based upon how preserved his body was. She could have done something similar or passed out and maybe got also obscured under the ice, partially. And they just didn't find her because of lazy police work or a lazy search. There's nothing really mysterious here. When the thaw comes, the bodies pop up. It's disgusting. It's a terrible way to die. But that's what I believe happened.
So, just one more note. The deputy, Bill Youngstrom, said he did hold on to the keys for many years and just never found what they were to. I did want to make a note of that.
Imagine him just going around trying it everywhere. There's something creepy about
just
the guy.
Knocking from door to door. Hey, can I try these keys?
There's something creepy about the guy, and I think for good reason, because of your sharp wit, you probably felt the same way and you started researching this guy.
So, a couple theories online that I wanted to discuss. The first one was that Arnold and Ruby were having problems and they were fighting that night.
Hmm.
And this theory kind of branches into two different directions. So theory number one is that Ruby and Arnold were fighting that night. And then they got into the accident. Arnold took advantage and killed Ruby and then tried to get away and passed out himself.
I would say it's a theory. Definitely possible. I think it's unlikely. But in my opinion, it's
highly unlikely because if he killed her, how did he end up dead himself in a different state of decomp? Now, the opposite direction, the other branch of that theory is that he killed Tracy or he somehow...
Ruby.
Yeah. I apologize. He somehow killed Ruby or restrained her so she eventually died of exposure, went out into hiding. That's when the witness saw him and then the people he was with killed him to cover their own butts. I also don't have much faith in that theory.
Yeah. I think they mislead us, too, with the photos. They make it out to be that these two are just happy-go-lucky kids who are just drinking and driving, you know? And it's really, I mean, they were doing a really kind of terrible thing. Thankfully, nobody else was hurt.
Right.
And, I mean, it's a weird story for Unsolved Mysteries, to be honest with you.
Theory number two is that Tracy had something to do with it.
Yeah. You know?
Which I have really no...
Yeah, I have no faith in that whatsoever. But it's possible. Now, if they're arguing, if you have Arnold and Ruby arguing in the front, even more of a reason to sit in the back, right?
Right. But if she's sitting in the middle, then one of them has to get out for her to get out.
You know? But in an accident like that, I'm going to guess nobody's wearing a seatbelt. You know, they fly around.
Yeah. So what I think happened is I think this case is a little more straightforward than we're led to believe. I think they got in the accident. Arnold either got out of the car or was thrown out of the car. And then Ruby got out of the car and they panicked because they're like, oh crap, we're drinking and driving and got into an accident. What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
But they're also drunk. They probably hit their heads. So they're in shock. And they feel like they're not thinking clearly. So they probably escaped thinking.
Have you ever been in a car accident? I hope you say that you haven't. But have you ever had any type of like situation where you're in a type of automobile accident?
I was in a car accident. I was 20 years old.
Which is what, 3 months ago? I'm just kidding.
Bless your heart.
You're a kid.
I was 20 years old. I was in the left-hand turn lane. And the arrow had just turned green.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it's like in New York. But in Michigan, you get in the left turn lane. And if you get a blinking red and there's no one coming,
mm-hmm.
you can come to a complete stop and you can turn left.
Yeah, you treat it like a stop sign. Same thing here.
Okay. But you also get a green arrow. So I had to wait for the green arrow. I got the green arrow. There were two lanes of traffic. One lane had totally stopped. So I went. And then somebody had, it was a full-size van, ran the red light.
Oh,
and like basically hit me head on.
Oh my God.
I was okay. I had a bloody nose, but I was just shaken up mostly.
So that's what I was kind of getting to. And thank God you're okay with that. That's a really, really serious accident that could have been terrible. I mean, a bloody nose is terrible, but, you know, breaking bones is far worse.
I wasn't hospitalized or anything.
Thank God.
But I was so shaken up, and I had a car that I had scrimped and saved for, and it was a really nice car. It was like a newer Escape at the time,
yeah.
And I loved it, and it was totaled.
That's a shame. But the shock that you had probably stuck with you for a little while.
Right. And look, like, I was so in shock that I didn't stand up for myself, because it was not my fault. The guy who ran the red light, it was his fault.
And, you know, I've had too many accidents, nothing where I actually got hurt, thankfully. And it's shocking. You know, your body goes through this traumatic, I mean, because all you're doing is singing along with a Britney Spears song. And next thing you know, it's like, boom.
I think it was a Luke Ryan song. Ryan song.
Or like one of these country songs where the girl's key in the car. And, but the bottom line is, you know, it's scary. It's frightening. And it's out of nowhere. It's worse than like a jump scare in a horrible, scary movie. And imagine it being worse. You're upside down, you know. If it's anything like what was in the reenactment, you're on ice. The whole thing is horrifying. So yeah, you get out and you're confused. And on top of it, you might have a head injury.
So moral of the story is the cop came. I was in shock, and I didn't stand up for myself, and I wound up getting the ticket.
What?
And my dad came. And I told him what happened, and he's like, you better not write her the ticket. Like, that's not her fault.
Right.
And the cop was like, you know, I already wrote the police report. Legally, I can't amend the police report that I already wrote.
You still got to go to court.
Lucy's here to... Oh.
Lucy the pit bull.
So the cop said, legally, I can't amend the police report after I already wrote it, but if you come to court, I'll show up and I'll help you fight it.
All right. I mean, so you have a human being writing you a ticket. I mean, that clearly was he overlooked the situation.
So, and
was it thrown out?
No, I still got the ticket. Well, the cop didn't show up to court.
Oh, Jesus.
But also the guy who hit me didn't show up to court either. So it was kind of like middle of the road.
Wow, that sucks. I mean, that's why we have cameras. I don't understand why they couldn't just pull
the camera. Yeah, I saw something on the internet yesterday that says everybody should have a dash cam.
Yeah, we don't. But Teslas have them built in. So it's kind of kind of cool. New cars should have them. But yeah, I mean, so you know what the bottom line is, you know, that's Arnold a terrible story, but I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you very much. Arnold and Ruby were in this accident. They were in shock. They were drunk. They were not thinking clearly. And they got out and they very well could have found a weak spot in the ice and fell through.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, to me, that is what happened, at least with Arnold.
And, you know, who knows what the weather was like that morning or the day after, because they could have fallen through the ice and it could have snowed and they could have gotten more, they could have just covered them up.
Yeah.
And it, they said they looked all through for evidence of breaking in the ice, but it could have, by the time they looked in just a couple hours, evidence of the fall through the ice could have just been covered up.
Maybe they both fell through the ice, right? And Arnold remained under the ice. I mean, we stopped searching in January. So we have February into March. We have a month, and I don't know when in March, but we have at least an entire month where her body could have surfaced and the decomposition would have happened because she would have, with lack of a better term or the nicety lacking, is to thaw out and then decompose.
And what if they fell next to each other?
Right.
And they stopped, they got covered up, everybody stopped looking, and then when the thaw started,
boom,
if it's water, Tracy's body, or I keep saying Tracy, Ruby's body could have just kind of floated away from Arnold slightly.
Right. I mean, it's not like they're holding hands or something, and it's a terrible, terrible outcome. But I don't think that there's that, I don't think there's malice. I don't see there being a cover-up. But you did find that the possibility of the deputy being involved in something.
A very possible.
Unrelated.
A very slight possibility of a cover-up. Another theory, the last theory that I read online was that if you mess up, you cover up.
Mm-hmm. He said
and
that.
The theory was that there was a botched investigation and they just tried to cover it up. And I don't think it was necessarily a botched investigation. I think it was just not a very thorough investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what led me to do a little more research on Deputy Bill Youngstrom. I found a couple articles of in October of 2000, Deputy William L. Youngstrom was indicted on charges of embezzlement. Apparently, he was accused of embezzling money meant to give undercovers money to buy drugs.
And we're not talking about a tremendous amount of money, just so.
No.
And we also have not confirmed for 100% that this is the same Bill Youngstrom. So it's very possible this is unrelated. I mean, it is unrelated, but it's possible that this person is not the same person. I believe it is. I think it's the same person.
I'm pretty confident it's the same person because it's another. It's Deputy Bill Youngstrom in the same police department in South Dakota.
But we're talking about initially a $5,000 take. But then in the second article, we're talking about $30,000.
So in the first article, the defense attorney is saying he's not a thief. He's just a poor bookkeeper. Hmm. He didn't steal any of the money. He just didn't document it properly. And that's what leads me to believe it provided it that it's the same person. That's what leads me to believe that it just wasn't a thorough investigation.
Right.
They very well could have, you know, if you go through the ditch, maybe there wasn't evidence of a crack in the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was and they missed it.
Absolutely.
But if they fell through the ice and then there was another snowstorm, it could have covered it up.
I mean, if you fall through the ice, I mean, it's 26 degrees out. I mean, what's to say the temperature doesn't drop another 10 degrees?
Right.
I just think it was, to me, the timing of it is very strange. Had they just stayed home with their kid, everything might have been fine. But yeah, so I think that, again, there's no, I don't see too much of a mystery here, except that we don't have a definitive answer as to what happened.
Correct. And why, and a lot of answer, or a lot of questions are, why did they leave Tracy in the car? Why didn't they come to help her?
Yeah.
I think the basic answer is they were in shock. And when you get out of the car, muscle memory is to shut the door.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've sat next to somebody in the car, gotten out and accidentally shut the door on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an accident. It's just.
She could have fallen on the door. I mean, this is, you just did like a crazy car accident.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I Tracy does seem to take it very personal. She shouldn't. She does.
And I think part of it too is maybe they were thinking clearly and they didn't want Tracy to get in trouble. Maybe they didn't want it to look like Tracy was driving or Tracy was drunk. So they got out to get help.
Mm. Yeah. I think they went, they got out and they died. I mean, they got slipped under the ice and that was it. They were dead within minutes.
They could have, you know, they could have just passed out.
Yeah.
If they were really drunk, they could have passed out from drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they both had head injuries, they could have passed out.
Yeah. Well, and Erica, then, we learned that Erica is being raised by her family. So mm-hmm. thankfully they had, you know, Erica does have a family that would raise her. And that would mean that Erica is how old now? 30-something.
31.
Yeah, 31 years old. And hopefully that, you know, she's moved on and, you know, being raised, by a good group of people, I hope. Catherine, I want to thank you so much for all the work that you put into this episode.
You're very welcome.
I look forward to the next one. I'm sorry.
This is a really notable case. I definitely remember it from childhood and when Unsolved Mysteries came back to the limelight a couple years ago. It's one of the first cases I searched for and wanted to watch. So I'm just happy, not happy, but I'm excited to cover it because it's a very, very interesting case. Albeit it being, I, after doing more research, I think it's just more straightforward than Unsolved Mysteries.
It's a great story. It's just, I don't think that there's anything there, unfortunately. I think it's simpler. I think we both agree it's a much more simple case. But you know what? That Unsolved Mystery didn't stay on the air for X amount of years just telling simple stories.
Agreed.
But thank you again, Catherine. I look forward to the next one.
I look forward to. See you next week.
Tonight, we have been confronted with an entire catalog of unexplained and unsolved events. Tune in next time as Unsolved Mysteries Rewind discusses another collection of unsolved mysteries. Until then, we can only look.